Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
We're pleased this week to welcome Rinpan Ishaya to the podcast. Rinpan, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rinpan.
We'd like to get started by helping the audience learn about you, and we'd like to get started with some of your academic choices. So what was your path from an academic perspective?
Okay. As I said, I'm Rinpan Ishaya. I studied sciences in the secondary school, that's in the high school. But I intended, my plan initially was to go for medicine, but I couldn't secure the admission for that. But then I took up application for biochemistry. So that I did. And then after biochemistry, I then went on to do the graduate program for medical laboratory sciences. And I focused on chemical pathology. So after which I secure an employment with a non-governmental organization, which is within Nigeria here, that supports the control of neglected tropical diseases. Yes.
Sorry, just to back up a little bit. So where did you do your studies for biochemistry and then your graduate studies?
I studied biochemistry in the University of Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. And then the graduate program for medical lab science in Federal School of Medical Laboratory Sciences, Jos, which is the graduate program for medical laboratory sciences.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, then you were saying from a professional perspective, You began to work with the local NGO?
Yes. The local NGO is called Health and Development Support Program, and we are majorly into the control and elimination of neglected tropical diseases and then preventable blindness. So that is what we do, and we support some states in Nigeria. We support 4 states, and we have been working with those states since 1995 to date. But I joined the organization in 2013. That's when I started the work.
Great. And what was your work while you were there?
I started as a program officer in neglected tropical diseases. So my major focus was relating with the states where we work with, to plan activities, to implement activities, and to also monitor to ensure that the activities are being conducted in the right perspective. And then to also liaise with the Federal Ministry of Health to also ensure that whatever we're implementing in our supported states are done according to the national guidelines. So basically that's how I operate. And then after some years of service, I moved on from the position of program officer to a manager in charge of neglected tropical diseases. And in this case, I have a larger scope of operation where I have to interface with lots of donors and then different partners at different level. And then we also collaborate with the Federal Ministry of Health. We coordinate research and then other surveys to monitor the progress we are making towards the elimination of NTDs. So basically, it's a whole lot of work that we are into.
Good. Okay. So, Rinpan, help me understand the choice that you made to go to graduate school for medical laboratory sciences. So was the intent that you were seeking potentially to move into, I guess, the more traditional medical lab science approach? Help me understand the nuance of taking it at the graduate level as opposed to at the bachelor level.
Yes, I took on the graduate program because it is a program that will give me a wider scope of knowledge. Having just a bachelor in biochemistry will not give me the kind of scope I need. So, but then going into medical laboratory science gives you a wide range of knowledge in medicine and in all aspects of life. It has application in so many aspects of life. So that's why I decided to go for that. Somebody who studies medical laboratory science can comfortably do well in the aspect of the pharmacy. When you are dealing with antibiotics, you can do well in the aspect of medicine, and then in all aspects of medical and human sciences. So that's why I decided to go for that.
And does that entitle you, so just to educate those of us who are not there, does that entitle you then to qualify as a medical laboratory scientist in Nigeria? I understand there's some guidelines around licensure, so that allows that as well, correct?
Yes, so after the program, we were inducted as medical laboratory scientists.
Perfect.
So you have to be inducted by the Medical Laboratory Science Council of Nigeria into the profession, and then you have to be paying annual operation license, and the license is geared towards giving you some level of confidence that you have met the guideline of the profession, and you can operate, you can work on human samples, and you can, that's just the ethical approval that stands for any medical lab scientist.
Great. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So Rinpan, in terms of the NTDs that you're dealing with, I think you had mentioned blindness. Would that be river blindness? Is that the main focus of your program or your practice?
So what we control the five preventive chemotherapy neglected tropical diseases, which include river blindness, lymphatic filariasis, schistosomiasis, soil transmitted helminths, and trachoma. Those are the five key NTDs we control.
Okay. And I understand so obviously several of those are up for elimination, obviously, of those five that you mentioned in particular. Can you give us a bit of a state of affairs on any particular progress that you'd like to share?
Yes, for trachoma, we have made a huge progress. When I started work in 2013, that was the very year we commenced the Global Trachoma Mapping Project. So that was a huge project that supported the mapping of trachoma globally. And in Nigeria, I coordinated the survey in some of the states we support. So that gave us the baseline of the endemicity status of trachoma in Nigeria. So the outcome of that survey gave the Federal Minister of Health and International Trachoma Initiative the clear blueprint of how to go about the elimination program for trachoma. So over the years, we have implemented the full SAFE strategy, which is S for surgery, A for antibiotic, F for face washing, E for environmental sanitation. So that full SAFE strategy was kickstarted after the mapping in 2013. And over the years, we have seen gradual reduction in number of local governments, which are districts that are no longer requiring antibiotics for trachoma. So as of now, we have barely 12 to 15 districts in Nigeria that are yet to stop treatment. So and we hope in the next 1 year, we should be able to reach that milestone in the elimination of trachoma. Even though we still have some gaps in trachomatous trachiasis surgery, that is actually ongoing. It is going on across the different states in Nigeria. And hopefully we are believing that in a year or two, we should be able to clear the backlog of trachomatous trachiasis. So I think much progress is being made, and we hope within the shortest possible time, we should be able to say bye-bye to trachoma in Nigeria. And then for river blindness, we are making a huge progress. Like the states we support, just this last year, about three of our states out of the four have passed the epidemiological assessment for onchocerciasis using the OV16 ELISA. So the result of the assessment clearly showed that there is no more transmission of onchocerciasis in those states. So we believe that when the entomology result comes out, we hope that would give us the final data on the status of onchocerciasis in those states that we work in. So a huge progress has been made. And also in lymphatic filariasis, a lot is also being made. We are achieving a lot in the control of LF. As at now, we have a lot of districts that have passed the pre-transmission assessment survey. And then in Federal Capital Territory of Nigeria, one of the states we work, two districts have stopped MDA, Mass Drug Administration, for lymphatic filariasis. So for each of the NTDs, we are making huge progress. We seem to have challenge only in the aspect of schistosomiasis and soil-transmitted helminths. The major challenge is largely because of insufficient drops and late arrival of the drops, basically.
And so, Rinpan, can you just help us translate the success that you're having related to incidences of these conditions? So, is this from a specific perspective where you're saying to eliminate trachoma particularly, and then also onchocerciasis?
Yes.
Could you give us a sense of the number of people that were affected with this when your program began?
Okay. For I will pick it maybe a sample example of a district.
Sure.
Yes, because in the Federal Capital Territory, which is the capital of Nigeria, two districts that are having a population of over 300,000 have been prevented from lymphatic filariasis. So, and then we have some of the districts on the pathway of passing their second stage of transmission assessment survey. So for onchocerciasis, we may not be able to say the actual figure because we have not conducted entomological assessment. But after the entomology, we should be able to give a clear figure as to the number of persons who are no longer taking treatment for onchocerciasis. But for trachoma, we can confidently give figures. For one of the states we work in, over 3 million population are no longer taking Zithromax for trachoma because they have achieved the ultimate intervention goal, which is less than 5% of the prevalence of trachomatous follicular, which is one of the grades of trachoma. So that is a huge a milestone. And then we believe in the next 1 year, we should be able to confidently say over 4 to 5 million persons will no longer be requiring Zithromax administration because of the interruption. So we are making a huge progress as an organization. And that's then excellent. So many other projects are achieving similar feats.
That's excellent, Rinpan. So let's go back a little bit. From your personal side, why NTDs? How did it end up that you ended up with this organization in particular? Was there something about the topic? Was it just the opportunity appeared? Was there any specific trigger that got you into NTDs?
Yes, NTDs. Right from my university days, I have always wished to work with organizations that provide intervention to communities. I never wanted to be under the laboratory, the four corners of the laboratory. I preferred working where I can meet people at the community level and then touch their life at those level. And that's why because of the work I do, I had to do a master's program in parasitology and entomology. So that gave me a wider scope of working in NTDs. And then I didn't know much about NTDs, but I wanted to work more in a development work. And then when I got to NTD, it became something that I so much like. And why I love NTD is because of the fact that it is a program that when you set up a goal, you are able to achieve the goal if you are consistent and if you are focused on obeying all the guidelines of elimination. NTD is one of the diseases that can easily be eliminated with coordinated intervention. So that's basically one of the things that made me to be so much interested. There are organizations providing intervention for other diseases. I just feel staying to end NTDs will be a better off plan for me than moving to other places.
That's fair and commendable on your part to be able to find the right match for your particular interests and your particular capabilities. So that's great. And specifically, I think the option, the scenario, I should say, that you're able to have the discipline to stick with this for long enough to make the end take place is quite commendable as well. So that's excellent on your part. So Rinpan, from a perspective of going back in history, both academically and professionally, would there be anything different that you would have done? Any advice you would have given yourself at, you know, say 17, 18, 19, that would have changed your path? Anything that would have made you progress faster, perhaps even so? But what advice would you have for the younger Rinpan?
Okay. So for me, I took the decision to study medical lab science after my mandatory National Youth Service. I took the decision even before going for NYSC. I already had the plan right from my university days that as soon as I'm through, I'll be going through the graduate program. So I may not really say I feel I'm on the pathway of achieving my plans. And then part of my plan was also to have a wider scope of knowledge. And that's why I also pick up a program, a Masters of Public Health, just to widen my scope of understanding. So basically for younger medical lab scientists, one thing I will advise them in this convention, these are current global situation, is for them to have a wider scope of thinking, not to have a thinking that is limited to the four corners of the laboratory. There are lots of things that you can get within the laboratory that can be applied in the outside world and that can provide answer to a lot of questions that people are asking. So the major challenge we have more with the laboratory, which is more of what we face in Nigeria here, is where you have people more concerned about routine work, working routinely on a particular area. Maybe somebody could be on a bench that is for liver function test bench. And then the person stays there routinely, he does his work, and then he goes. But then there is no moment where people interface between what I produce in the lab, what I generate in the laboratory, and then what is the implication of what I'm generating. Are there some data that are coming more consistent? What could be the reason? Where are they coming from? And then so many other things. So I feel our younger ones should be able to think outside the box. They should be able to also use the available data at their disposal to generate hypotheses that could answer lots of problems that we have in our society. So basically, that's what I can say for any lab scientist that is young and want to make impact in this profession.
Great. So Rinpan, what have you seen change since the time you began your career to now? What has been for you the biggest change from either a diagnostic perspective or a general medical lab science perspective in the field?
Okay. Yes, in the when I started work, there were, like in Nigeria, there were no much knowledge on issues of molecular biology. So, but then we have a lot of progress has been made in that area. And so you find out that you have to just work very hard to fit in the changes that we are facing. So I feel a lot of knowledge have been added to the medical laboratory. That's why we have new units coming up in the laboratory sciences, like the molecular biology taking a full position, and then other areas. And then we also have the fact that there are also diagnostic tools that are coming up, which are more contemporary. And then most of those who are within that setting are also using those diagnostic tools. But then one thing that is becoming, like, I don't know whether to say it is a challenge, is where you have this equipment gradually taking over the basics that we normally have usually, which are the basic, like chemical pathology. There are basic chemical pathology where you carry a spectral photometry. But then what we have of recent are automated machines that you impute your sample and reagents, and then you get your data. So one thing that will need to be done so that we don't lose sight of those historical where we started our journey in medical laboratory science is to ensure that in part of our teaching, these aspects that are basics should also be taught to students so that they understand where we are coming from and then where we are, basically.
Great, okay. So Rinpan, at this time, we generally invite our guests to recognize people that have been mentors and support to them as they've been progressing in their both academic and professional careers. I'd like to offer the same opportunity to you. So anyone particularly you'd like to thank as part of the journey you've taken?
Yes, there are so many of them, but one of them is my program coordinator, Mr. Chris Ogoshi. He is a mentor. He is someone who believes in giving opportunity to the younger ones to grow. So he has been my major source of support. When I came into the work, I got all the encouragement from him. I was able to proceed to acquire additional certifications without any challenge, without any issue. So I really give it up to him. And then in terms of programming, he has done a lot for me in terms of mentoring. So I can really say that I owe a lot to him and for seeing me to grow to this level and for believing in me and for giving me opportunity to showcase the kind of leadership charisma I have in me. So I really appreciate him.
That's great. Yes. Thank you much for your time today, Rinpan. We appreciate very much you sharing your knowledge and your expertise, and continued success on your progression to eliminating those NTDs that you're focusing on.
Okay. So thank you so much.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.